The institution of marriage and why it matters. The Supreme Court and the Senate are downstream from a culture that has long since redefined the real purpose of marriage in society. Disclaimer, this voiceover may include sounds of normal family life. On Monday, the Senate took one step further towards passing the so-called Respect for Marriage Act that would codify the Supreme Court ruling Obergefell v. Hodges, which made same-sex marriage legal across the country, into federal law. The bill has been rightly criticized for the threat it poses to the sacred right to oppose and not be compelled to legitimize same-sex marriage, an urgently valid concern considering the legal persecution of Christians like baker Jack Phillips and florist Bernal Studsman in the wake of the Obergefell decision. Yet a strong faction of social libertarians across the political spectrum argue that individuals do have a right to do whatever they like and can thus determine and engage in marriage accordingly, even among those who would otherwise strongly support one's religious liberty to not be forced to facilitate or support same-sex marriage and, that significantly broader issue which is really at play here, various sexual identities. There's only one problem. Marriage is by definition the time-honored union between a man and a woman and can be literally nothing else. When you change this definition, you change what marriage is and, like today's problematic definition of the word woman, to argue that it can be anything else than what it is entirely undermines the original definition of the word and how society perceives the whole concept, that of both marriage and womanhood alike, as we've seen. The dismantling of such simple basic terms as marriage and woman is a direct result of the mid-century postmodern thinking that has brought us such intellectual forces as critical race theory, gender theory, queer theory, and the sex-positive sexuality education philosophy that has infested the nation's public school systems and the culture at large. The thing is, the majority of Americans and Westerners in general simply do not realize this. The governing doctrines of to each their own, personal liberty, autonomy, and choice are accepted almost subconsciously by moderns as moral, thanks to decades of subtle influence from the very same philosophy behind our now rapidly altering social climate. In truth, it makes perfect sense that Republicans and much of the population at large would find themselves, in such a short period of time, so relaxed with the concept of same-sex marriage, as we have stopped viewing marriage in general with the same gravity that our culture once did. It's very easy to take for granted that marriage is just a piece of paper when you've grown up in a culture where no-fault divorce renders this literally true, and marriage has been reduced to a simple legal transaction that can be rendered null and void at any given time with just another piece of paper. We simply don't see marriage as sacred, and so many won't bat an eye at its desecration. And this extends far beyond same-sex marriage to the broader trend of exercising morality on the basis of personal fulfillment and satisfaction rather than for the sake of personal responsibility and self-governance. Just last week, actress Tia Mowry pointed to self-love as the driving force behind her decision to divorce her husband and the father of her children, strongly indicating that it is the nebulous postmodern worldview of self-fulfillment that dictates her views on marriage. "I knew when I really started to focus on my happiness," Mowry said. "I feel like women, we tend to focus on everybody else's happiness, making sure that everybody else is okay, meaning our children, our friends, our family. But at the end of the day, it's about self-love," she continued. "When you start to really work on yourself, love yourself, know your value and know your worth, then all of a sudden there's this awakening." Self-love is the subtle but incredibly potent fruit of a centuries-old shift away from the classical Christian worldview and towards the humanistic postmodern worldview on which so many people base their values by default, often without even realizing it. Gay marriage did not make gay marriage plausible. The Supreme Court did not make gay marriage plausible. Historian Carl Truman writes in The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, a look at how philosophy has shifted towards the psychologized worldview and now takes prominence in our modern consciousness. Rather, he explains, gay marriage became plausible and justifiable to the Supreme Court justices in 2015 on changes in the social imaginary that have taken place over the last several hundred years by way of how Western society views concepts such as selfhood, human nature, sexuality, and the concepts of oppression and liberty. It didn't begin with the sexual revolution and feminism either, for all the vitriol towards and highly effective destruction of the sanctity of the institution of marriage from these quarters. The sexual revolution is simply one manifestation of the wider revolution in selfhood that has taken place, Truman writes. In other words, politics, including the politics that ultimately influence who will be selected to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court, is downstream from culture. And when Obergefell was originally decided, it was done so in a culture that has long since rejected the traditional view on marriage and everything that previously supported its importance. When tradition runs counter to the exigencies of contemporary taste, for example, when it defines marriage as between a man and a woman, it is to be dismissed as having no rational basis, as motivated by animus, as perpetuating inequality, as an affront to the dignity of the gay and lesbian community, and as denying fundamental freedoms essential to what it means to be human, Truman explains of the reasoning behind the 2015 decision. The redefinition of marriage is the culmination of decades of radical yet subtle social changes wrought by ideas that scratch the sorts of ears that have been itching since the fall of mankind, those tiny selfish voices within us that ask, did God really say? Is it really supposed to be so? Must I be bound by my shackles of selfless servitude to my husband slash wife slash child slash community? What about me and what I want? Because here's the real kicker. Traditional marriage matters because it was established by God, and no earthly court or man-made law can change this, try as they might. Nothing else can ever be what marriage, the sexual lifelong bond between a man and a woman, is. Marriage was the first institution established by God, and it was established before the fall of mankind, when God in his wisdom saw the one single thing that was not good about the creation. He spoke into being through Jesus Christ, that the man should dwell alone. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Genesis 2:23-35. The implications of the Respect for Marriage Act are indeed concerning when we consider the future of religious liberty in the United States, and Christians must understand what it means for those of us who do not recognize marriage as anything other than a union between a man and one woman. Yet we can more than rest on the greatness of the God-ordained institution itself, because it is physically impossible for a same-sex union to ever truly become the same union that God created between man and wife. Together, a man and woman become something far greater than the sum of their parts. They conceive and bring forth new life in a miraculous recreation of the relational triune God from whence is the origin of all life on earth. Real love is not about self-fulfillment. Real love was shown to us in that Christ laid down his life for us, in God's love in giving his one and only Son to restore us to him in the act of restoration that will reconcile the wedge that the fall drove between man and woman. Our marriages, every single day, recreate this self-sacrifice as we lay down our lives to serve one another and to care for our children, bringing them up and setting an example so they might also be prepared for the gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, supremely joyful act of love that is marriage and bringing forth its fruit. Marriage matters because it is sacred, no matter how much our culture desecrates it. Progressivism may rise and fall, human terms and laws may be manipulated and distorted, but marriage, real, God-ordained, self-sacrificing marriage, truly isn't going anywhere. And one day, we will be wed to a bridegroom in the marriage and all marriages that will restore the world to God.